say we go dancing.
I'm in.
Let's go dancing.
Okay, but not somewhere I'm gonna feel worse about myself when no one's interested because I'm fat.
Maybe the universe is telling me that I should fuck that cute virgin and give him the great first time experience that I never had.
That's not karma, that's statutory rape.
You're such a Sex in the City
podcast.
I'm a lost cause. Go on without me. Save yourselves.
Stop, you bitches! I called the cops!
Fuck my car!
Yeah, keep talking. I'll come down there and cut it off for you.
Gay boyfriends are the loophole of monogamy.
I'm a 34-year-old nerd.
Let's start this thing.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think it is time to start, because you know what? In these uncertain times, I really take heart in knowing that Daryl Williams, you are such a Sex in the City podcast.
No, April, in these uncertain times, you're such a Sex in the City podcast.
No, our returning guest, fan favorite local comedian, Jeremiah White, you are such a Sex in the City podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't take it. I think you guys are both such a Sex of the City podcast. Did
awesome.
I say it right? I think I said it right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever you stand in this household.
Well, obviously, guys, we're, if you can tell by the recording, we're a little remote. Obviously, we're all quarantined in these stupid times that we live in nowadays, but the show must go on.
Yeah.
It's definitely just right off the bat, get it out of the way. It's very high anxiety time. I know everyone's under a lot of stress. I know that I personally have been struggling a lot with knowing that we're almost done with the You're Such a Sex in the City podcast. We only have a few episodes left.
It's like the world is telling us you can't stop. You can't finish this thing. Like, It was originally supposed to be like less than 2 years, and we're moving on almost 3 years. And life won't let us finish this.
Nope. And you got to do it until you die. You got to keep it on repeat.
How many episodes do you recall being on, Jeremiah, so far?
I believe three. Three episodes.
Are you getting killed by a dog?
You know what? I got a package, and my dogs are barking at the UPS man. They want to kill the UPS man.
Well, I would want to kill anybody that came with coronavirus, too.
Right? That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. That's their only job in life, is to make sure nobody has corona in this house.
Obviously, I'm in Sex in the City headquarters, but April's in Seattle, and then Jeremiah's also in another part of Long Beach.
Yep.
April, have you been watching Sex in the City twice as much with the quarantine, or not as much?
I would say people have taken this quarantine as a chance to catch up on TV. I say TV was already perfected, and you're all idiots. Sex in the City. And guess what? I've been right this whole time. So,
I do feel like there's probably a surge in viewership with this quarantine going on. I bet there's a lot of people that, you know, are just like, what should I watch? Haven't checked this out. I got 8 weeks to spare.
Let's do this. It's only going to take me 3 years to watch and listen to all this.
Yeah.
Ready to go on a journey.
Right.
With some unknown Long Beach comedians.
Hey, I looked at some demographics that we had recently with this show, because the podcast platform or hosting site that we use for this show put out some extra demographics. And guess what gender listens to this show more?
Male.
Men.
Yeah, totally men.
God, yeah.
No, it's actually women, of course. I want to say 80% women. So only out of five people that listen to this is a dude.
Got it.
So we got to figure out what we can do to reach out to that minority to get them more involved with Sex in the City.
Yeah, should we cater to these last four episodes to the men?
You know. Probably, yes.
Yeah.
We should. Having boy talk.
Boy talk.
Have
yeah.
boy talk.
Short-lived segment.
I was thinking for these last episodes, maybe bringing back some old segments that we did from back in the day. You know, maybe just dust those off. I don't know. Should we get into this episode, though?
I think we have to. We have, because of the quarantine and not being able to all be in the same room, we have upset the natural rhythm that our podcast has made. So we did not do a pre-recording this week. We are just diving in. So instead of starting with what are you hoping for from this episode, what do you think it'll be like, I'm going to go ahead and start with our guest, Jeremiah.
All right.
Initial impressions from the episode, just thoughts that came to you. What was the outcome?
Oh, okay. So from the episode, first off,
it was season 6, episode 17.
17, yeah, right.
Entitled The Cold War.
Cold War with the Russian lover.
Yes.
Who I thought was cheating on her because she came to the door with the crew.
Right.
And he didn't open up right away. He kind of slid open. He did the, hey, what you doing here? Look, I was like, oh, there's somebody in there.
You know, if you didn't know beforehand what his backstory was, you probably could think that too. Yeah, he was kind of, I mean, that is classic cheating move where it's like, oh yeah, sorry, babe, I'm not going to meet you with your friends. I got work to do.
Exactly. And then Samantha, she wants clout. So she's hooking up with a gay guy.
He's not really gay.
He's not. Yeah. Well.
Gay, but they are like a happy boyfriend girlfriend where she's the much older girlfriend.
Girl. Right. Right.
Yeah. Everybody thinks he's gay because he's so attractive.
Yeah. And when they took the picture, it was kind of suspect. You know, he was like, "Hey, does he like men? What am I seeing here?"
Well, he was hanging out with two flaming queens.
I
think
the wig.
That's still like a cool thing to call them, right? Like, you can call gay guys flaming queens still. That's still fine.
I think so.
I don't know.
Other than using the word fag.
Right.
Yes, which what they did, yeah.
Threw around pretty liberally. This is the early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was also brought with the phrase like fag hag. It wasn't just fag.
It wasn't just like, you're a fag. It was like, fag.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. rhymes. That makes it okay.
It rhymes, so it's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Dr. Seuss wrote it.
Yeah, a very prejudiced Dr. Seuss wrote this.
It was one fish, two fish.
Fag fish, never get married fish.
Fish, yeah.
Confirmed bachelor fish.
Yeah. I also, we're definitely skipping ahead. I mean, we're doing a lot of characters all at once.
Yeah.
Okay, just get into individual storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha's wig at the end threw me off. I was like, okay, I get it. You have cancer, but the afro, like that's...
Oh, man.
No white woman should wear an afro ever. Just don't do it. It's not...
It's thick.
Yeah. Right, for the wig. And I was like, no, don't do that. That's not for you.
He called her Foxy Brown.
Right, yes. Which was a dated...
Foxy snap for it.
Yeah. And it was a dated call, like a dated reference back then. Foxy Brown was...
Yeah.
First it was the 70s, then it was like 90s.
It might have been like a 10-year-old reference.
Right.
I'd just like to point out that wig... Oh, what a special moment in Sex and the City history.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean,
you know,
it's...
fact that Samantha and Smith Jared used that in some, like, racial, sexual... So,
right.
That definitely happened. That's
totally. She's all like, what do you mean I can't sit in the front of the bus?
Right.
And he's all like, get to the back or else.
Get to the... Right.
And then just cue the porno music.
That dude, they are just white enough. That was a deleted scene. That was in the script. And they're like, yeah, reel it back a little bit. The three snappy, weirdly sassy.
Mm-hmm.
Really stereotypical.
That's right, that's in the Blu-ray deleted scene extra. Okay,
Oh, yeah, there's definitely director's commentary with that.
That, if you keep watching Samantha's sex tape from the episode, that's what it goes to.
It just goes off.
Later in the sex tape, she puts on the wig.
That's so funny. You know what?
Black-faced.
Right. You know what? That's funny? That means that she has to stop. Go to the to her closet, find a wig. Take it off the mannequin head, put it on, place it, pick it out, make sure it's good.
Yep.
Then have to act like she's getting back on the bus. Sit down, and then he has to get on and say, "You have to move." Mm-hmm. No, I will not move. My feet are tired.
He's all like, "Ma'am, you're gonna have to move," and she's like, "Call me Foxy."
Yeah, call me Foxy. Sugar daddy, call me Foxy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's not even saying history right.
No, right.
She's just like, my feet are tied and I refuse to move to the back of the bus because I'm Foxy Brown and I have a gun. Read the history book.
Right? I'm rewriting history, bitch.
She was an early Tarantino.
Yeah.
We could talk about that wig for the entire hour-long episode.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Yeah.
It never stops being something worth mentioning.
No.
When we were watching this before, you know, all this, just in our own leisure, when we were coming up to who we should have as a guest with this episode, we were definitely like, Jeremiah White.
Yeah. He has to watch this with the Afro wig.
Right? Like, we need Jeremiah's opinion and also more black friends.
Yeah. Is this cultural appropriation or was this just of the time?
This was just of the time, I will say. But there's going to be somebody who's going to be like, oh, no, that's cultural appropriation. And they're going to call them out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it a few. As soon as they start rewatching again, and they go, wait, I don't remember this. How dare they? Then I'm going to bag the black people. And I'm like, oh, how dare you, Sex and the City? You culturally appropriated my culture.
But I don't feel like Samantha hates black people.
She's
wearing this because she loves black people.
She's wearing it just like every other white woman. And they just want to be like black people. That's all it is.
It's true.
That's what it
is. I mean, just,
depression or the not fun
part. Yeah, none of the fun part. Yeah, they just want all the fun.
Fun part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. None of the oppression, just the fun. Just the cool hair.
Job.
Yeah, right, exactly. The cool hair, the lips, the butt. Then
I want people to think I can dance well.
Yeah, right.
Football.
Right, right. All of that. And then when it comes down to, hey, there's a unarmed black kid. Oh, well, hold on. That's too far. Too much for me. We'll stay in the house for that one.
I'm an unarmed white woman.
Yes.
Like a black woman. I'm different treatment.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. We got to get into storylines.
Right.
Yeah.
This could be the episode. Okay. Let's go ahead and leap in to Kara's storyline, because her article this week that the episode is based around, she's writing about her and the Russian, Alexander Petrovsky, her current boo. They don't really have anything in common. She gets caught up in a cafe, he meets art friends, and they're like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Carrie. They're like, we work for the Metropolitan. And she's like, I write a column. And they're like, really? Awesome. Is it in the New Yorker? And she's like, no, it's in a rag magazine. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, but then the Russian, he's all like, no, it's actually funny. It's about sex and relationships. Fuck you guys.
Handsome Lee has just informed us of your upcoming show in Paris. Congratulations.
Yeah, right. A solo exhibit at the Galerie Nationale du Jeu de Paume. Just another day. You are so full of shit.
I never said I wasn't.
This is your first new exhibit in what? 4 years?
6.
Well, the world is waiting with breath that is bated. We need menus and a wine list. So how are they?
The oysters are very good.
No, his pieces.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen them yet.
Are you an artist as well?
No, I'm a writer.
Novels?
No, I write a column for a newspaper.
The Times?
The New York Star.
It's a very good column about woman, man, and sex. Very smart and very funny.
I'm sure.
You're not sure. You're a snide. May I borrow the
newspaper? No, no, no. What are you...
Let him listen. It's my belief that the last time anyone actually enjoyed the 69 position was in 1969.
I think it's funny.
That wasn't one of my smartest ones.
So she's wondering, her whole thing is like, how much in a couple do you have to be part of one another's world?
Yeah.
You know, he actually says in the episode, she's like, I'm your friend. And he's like, you're not.
No.
Ever. That is better. And it's like, ooh, that's kind of weird.
Well, I like, what's the redhead lady's name?
Miranda.
I like her take on it when she said that, what she said about her and her husband?
Steve.
Her and Steve are barely in each other's business. And they have a great relationship because of it. Whatever, however she words it, I forgot how she worded it. But I like her take. Her take sounded a little better than his, I will say.
I feel like if Steve and Miranda were in quarantine right now, they would divorce.
Definitely. No, they couldn't handle it.
Right.
No, they'd be at each other's throats. They wouldn't be having any sex, and they'd definitely be like, I gotta get out of here.
Miranda, they're not even in the city anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what do they have?
Right. She lives in
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, and it's horrible, and she's totally out of touch and needs her DSL totally hooked up. But obviously Steve's amazing, and he does it, and that's their big arc, is that he hooks up her DSL.
And built some walls.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, man, your face is freezing.
I had to walk all the way from the subway in these heels. My feet are killing me.
Why did you just carry them and wear sneakers like everyone else?
Stop. You can take me out of Manhattan, but you can't take me out of my shoes.
Then stop complaining about them.
You're right. I have much bigger things to complain about. Did you get a chance to install my DSL line today?
I was putting up sheetrock in Brady's room.
Steve, you know I can't live without internet access.
You want your kid to live without walls? Here, this ought to cheer you up. The Pony Express finally got our address right.
We have mail? My tattletale came! Finally, a connection to the real world.
I can't believe that you read that crap.
I love it. It's my thing. Let it go.
Oh! Magda and Brady are...
I'm reading this. You no longer exist.
Mad at him for building walls in their home. For them child.
It is a weird thing to get upset about.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's weird, too. When she gets her DSL finally, she goes online and goes to the, like, trashy website. And then Samantha's porno is, like, right on the front page. That seems weird.
That's true. It was the very first thing that popped up. So she clearly didn't go to the trashy website. She went to the porn site. That's what she went to.
Right, right.
It's a porny, trashy website. You know, it's... Those lines are very blurred in the modern era. How do you read trash without coming across Kim Kardashian's sex tape? You know?
I feel like
you do a few accidental clicks in the modern era.
I mean, I feel like the National Enquirer would like report on it, but they wouldn't have the video right on the homepage.
Right, playing.
Mm-hmm.
But would they do it?
Maybe they would have a link to it for sure.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be a big screen. It wouldn't be like YouTube.
Yeah, you couldn't just maximize it and then right there watch her fuck Smith Jarrett.
Take over the suddenly don't have a desktop or anything anymore. Like, you can't.
She obviously has her parental controls not turned on. She doesn't care about her small child running into this or any of that.
Yes. Well, I think most of us don't care that much as a parent. Oh no, he found it. Well, I guess we're gonna have a talk.
It's your child is 4 years old.
Four, yeah.
I'm assuming you haven't had any talks or incidents yet, Jeremiah.
Right.
That
No. He said he had a girlfriend and he kissed a girl at school. He said, I was like, oh, okay.
Must be serious.
Yeah. But this was before quarantine too, so. And
he dumped that bitch.
Yeah, he for sure did.
Okay.
His mom's happy now.
Cool. I mean, you got to have priorities in this time.
Yeah, you do. I'm glad he chose his health over his sexual relations.
Mm-hmm. You have to. I mean, are you going to, like, risk your life for some poontang, especially at 4 years old? Mm-hmm. Probably not. You got a lot of life to live.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Don't lie. Don't.
Okay, so Miranda's doing some things. Have we talked about Carrie's story enough?
Well, I think the end of the story, we got into it a little bit, is that she's trying to reach out to Alexander. So she invites the girls over. He calls. He's like, I'm busy. I'm an artist, and I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then she's like, come on over, girls. And Samantha, who's trying to be black, sounds good. And they did. And then he's like, hey, I said I was working. I have a job. I'm working.
Yeah.
And girls awkwardly leave. But so they have this conflict. But at the very end of the episode, she goes to confront him and realizes that he actually is having a lot of like stress and anxiety and personal doubt over his art. Probably that's part of why he was like, get out of here. And so what ends up actually being a kind of like, he is opening up his world to her a little bit.
Right.
What did we think of that? Was there any like ring of truth to it? Or did it seem kind of like,
No, I think it sounded perfect. I think you hit the nail on the head. Actually,
I can feel like sometimes as an artist, you know, you want to be definitely in your zone. You're like, hey, I got to do this. I got a deadline. You know, these things are like, you know, on my table. I can't deal with your little whatever. Like, I can meet your friends later. If anything, I didn't even want to meet him to begin with.
That's so true. I wish I was laughing because it wasn't true, Daryl.
Right. I mean, obviously, you have to at some point meet your, you know, significant other's social circles or especially family and stuff like that. But most of the time, you're just like, I've heard enough about you bitching about them. Like, why do I want to meet this person? And they're like, because they're my friend. And you're like, you should not have this person as your friend.
They are not your friend.
And now you want me to be meeting them?
No.
Oh, great.
It's different.
Yeah, it's totally different. And then obviously women, I'm sure, feel the same way too. You know, you don't want to meet any of my stupid friends either.
Right. All the stupid things I've told you I've done with him. Like, there was the one time when we were 14 and we broke into this girl's house and we stole cookie dough and soda. Oh, it was great. You're like, why would you guys do that? I don't know. Were you guys high? No, we were just 14. I don't want to meet him.
You didn't rub it on your balls or anything?
We just made cookies. And then I'm sure the girl was looking for her cookies and her soda, but we didn't care. We were sporty.
Man, homemade cookies sound good right now. Late.
Tough luck, because guess what? We're running wild. We don't care.
Right.
Okay, so
that was nice that ended in kind of the best possible way without like making either of them sincerely the bad guy.
Yeah, they kind of just like had a discussion, and then he basically opened up and she was like, oh wow, he's so sensitive because he opened up. And then they had their moment.
We have not yet spoken at all about Charlotte.
Nope.
And her very dog heavy storyline.
Yes.
Yeah. Liz Taylor, that's her dog. She's a what's the breed of dog? A King Charles Spaniel.
Yeah.
And she's walking down the street with Anthony, and all these strangers are like, wow, your bitch is amazing. And she's like, she's my friend, Charlotte. Oh, wait, you're talking about the dog. And then Charlotte's like, oh, I'll get the good idea. Like, I have amazing idea. We should put this dog in another dog show because she's amazing.
That is the most precious little thing.
Thank you.
What's her name?
Elizabeth Taylor.
That is the fourth person to stop and gush. I swear that dog's getting cruised more than me, and we're on the corner of Gay and Gay.
She loves the attention, doesn't she? Look how she prances along. Do you see her prancing?
Yes, she's very prancy.
She was a show dog, you know. She even competed at Westminster.
Did she ever win anything?
Well, no, but I think that was only because her last owner wasn't very supportive. I think she misses the competition. See how she's showing off?
She's a freaking attention whore.
Cute dog.
Thank you.
I'm thinking of re-entering her. I think with my love and a little encouragement, she could actually win. What do you think?
What the hell? Do it. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
And then they do, and everybody shows up, and the dog gets her period, but still wins best in show. That's amazing.
Yep. Because
the guy who's judging is, he just can't say no to Charlotte because she's the hottest one.
Yeah, he's like trying to get into Charlotte's pants. Doesn't see the ring on her finger, but she like gives him a look like while she's like getting judged and stuff, and then suddenly he's like, "Yep, her."
That
yeah.
Like that one.
I like girls with dogs that have periods. Yeah.
I don't care that it's bleeding on the fabric and our clothes.
I wonder how many times that's happened where, like, a dog's bled on the, like, show floor and then still won the prize.
Right. Can they be fixed? Or do they have to be fixed in the dog shows?
I feel like
that's the thing with dog show dogs, as I understand it, is they can't be physically altered.
Oh.
Yeah, so they have to have their nuts or goods intact.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say they're a pure breed dog, so they want to breed the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things for if you want to compete with them, you can't.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of correlations between dog breeders and Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, they want the best of the best.
Yes.
They're only selective breeding. They're only hey, you know what? This dog has a weird gait. We're not breeding with that anymore. Perfect dogs. We're only taking perfect dogs, you know?
We love, as a, like, humanity, even modern day, we love eugenics when it has to do with house pets.
Yeah.
We still love it when it has to do with animals that we breed.
Yeah.
Yeah, animals.
But everything else, we're like, yes, let me genetically alter this apple tree just because I can. I want to make it feel pain.
Right.
Yeah, animals, plants, whatever, we could genetically alter that to the day's over. But people, that's where we draw the line. You can't do it with people.
That's right. You can't.
That's because playing God.
That's playing God once you start doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so she...
Then the dog gets gangbanged.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
I also want to bring up one thing, and it's weird because it's... I don't know if you guys caught it when you guys were watching it, but right before she gets gangbanged, she's, all in the dog park, and Charlotte's all like, what's going on? Harry, stop it. Harry, stop it. There's a quick 5-second beat that Harry is just looking at the dog and smiling.
Yes. I did catch that.
He's just like, dog's getting theoretically fucked to no end right now, and then Harry's just like, yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that nice?
Let her have her fun.
Yeah, and then Charlotte's like, break it up, break it up. And that's when Harry's like, oh, I guess I should do this. Like, he didn't realize, I should do this until, like, Charlotte said something.
Right.
I think that's part of the wonderfulness of Charlotte and Harry's relationship in that they even each other out in that way where Charlotte is just like, like, mad uptight. Or he's just like, I want it to be perfect. And Harry's like, she's getting fucked. Good for her.
Yeah, he's totally not thinking about any of like long-term percussions for sure.
I did find that funny though, that he was just chilling. He was just sitting there, and none of the other dog owners came to rescue the dog. Like, hey, my dog. Well, let him have his fun.
Right?
You know, and she's screaming, "Help! Oh, stop my dog! My dog is." She's there, just like, "Oh, well, this,
why are you so uptight?
I don't know how to take care of that." Yeah.
So my dog fucks your dog. Big whoop. Yeah, that would be great. That's simpler times too. I feel like that scenario would not go down in 2020.
That's right.
I think it would though, because they're dogs.
Oh, that's true. Apparently all the dog parks are closed now too, so now you can't even have dogs interacting with each other.
We're gangbanging each other.
It's true. We are probably slowing the curve on dog gangbangs as well.
And the quarantine's gone too far.
I feel like we need to have higher dog gangbangs. We need to strengthen the curve. Okay, so Samantha, she's also got some other wigs going on throughout the episode.
Yeah, she had the black wig.
Yeah, she had a black wig.
And she had the blonde wig at the show.
And
I don't know if you guys realize this. I've just paid attention to all Samantha's wigs, just so you guys know.
I like that else? When she had her first black wig, Stanford and his boyfriend mistook her for somebody else. And she turned around, and then she made some quip. But then he also, Stanford, maybe had the line of the episode. He said, she's getting wiggy with it.
Oh. Yeah. Stanford had a few good lines.
That was so, I cringed when I heard that line. I was like, that was so terrible.
Right? That's what's so, that's what Stanford is there for. That is his specialty.
Yeah, you know, nice. The writer who wrote that was like, yeah, that's the line.
That's the one.
Honey, buy that boat.
I just solidified my paycheck for the next 2 years.
Started the script. I think I'm about to get a raise.
And then, of course, Willie Garson, as he's reading it, he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I should say. Oh, man. And then she also has, yeah, like a short blonde-haired wig and then like kind of a really nice long-haired blonde wig.
Long-haired, yeah.
A lot of range in this episode.
Her whole story arc for this episode is just that she gets cropped out of a photo with Smith Jared and some gay friends. And the tabloids are all like, he's gay! She's a fag hag!
Yes.
They throw around a lot.
A lot.
Saying fag hag over and over again.
Did you see that picture of Smith Jared online? I can't believe he's gay. No one that good looking is ever straight. I thought he was dating Samantha Jones. All this time, I thought she had the hottest sex life in New York City. Turns out she's just a fag hag.
First of all, real quick, is there a better phrase for that yet? Do we have a phrase that doesn't make you cringe?
I've been told that it's been called fruit fly.
Fruit fly.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the more PC term.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, well, I obviously hang around a lot of fags, and they're like, we like to be called fruits now.
But anyway, that's her whole, she has cancer, but this is her identity crisis of the episode.
Right.
Thinking that she's not having sex with this hot young thing. She's locked down. So then she has, because of her anxiety and all that, she has to release a sex tape where he names her by name multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should have been holding out her like ID at the same time. Like, had a newspaper of today's date.
Driver's license, and I'll show you mine. And then, yeah, she does some cultural appropriation as part of her stress response.
I liked her arc for sure. I also liked her, maybe I should save it for our fashion segment, but She had obviously, the wigs are in its own world. But she had a lot of cool outfits, too. Should we get into the fashion? Or
let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So many cool outfits. First off, we had one of the dudes in Alexander Petrovsky's art crew at the beginning. One of them had a really cool neck tattoo.
Neck tattoo!
Yeah, did you notice
that? I didn't see it, no.
He shows up multiple times. I remember this guy, and I remember looking at his neck tattoo and being like, what even is that?
Yeah, it's definitely...
He just has an intense neck tattoo.
Totally. You're like, whoa, man, this is, like, intense. Like, why did you get this? This is also in, like, 2000, you know? This is way before neck tattoos were cool.
Right. No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think I just gotten used to neck tattoos now. It's like, oh, it's a neck tattoo. What's next?
And then, Stanford with his really cool outfit when he first shows up.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. He has a hot pink beret, a hot pink shirt, a vibrantly green scarf, and a normal suit jacket over it all.
Yeah, definitely.
And then later, they're like, unnamed gay man. He's like, how did they know I'm gay?
It's because you're wearing the gayest outfit ever. I want to say that they said that the shirt was an Oswald Butang shirt. Have you ever heard of that brand?
No.
Nope.
Nope, nope, nope.
I've never heard of that brand either. I guess we're not obviously cultured enough. Somebody in this podcast is yelling, what the fuck? You've never heard of Oswald Butang?
My God, he was Versace before there was Versace.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a fucking Gucci without this dude. So that was a thing. I mean, obviously, Sex and the City loves to name drop the brands of clothing.
Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Or fashion accessories stand out to you?
No, but I will say the dog technically is a fashion accessory of the time.
For sure.
Because remember, everyone at that time, or every rich person, well-off person, had the little small cute dog that they could put in a purse and somebody could come up to them and say, oh my God, it's so cute. Oh, can I kiss it? I just want to make out with your little tiny dog. So that is the accessory that I noticed, you know, so.
That's very true. That is, and they did bring up, I think, was it Paris Hilton, the episode? Where it's like, the sex tape worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm,
did they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Paris Hilton, tiny purse dog.
Tiny.
Circle and back. Portrait of the time period. And what a bleak time period.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, Paris Hilton is still as relevant as ever. She's
her, mm-hmm. Her and her dog Tinkerbell.
Oh,
was
yeah.
That her dog name?
I bet her dog has more followers on Instagram than we do combined.
Right. And I hate her dog for that.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm jealous.
I also bet the dog we're talking about is definitely already dead.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
The dog is dead, but it still has more followers.
Yeah. Well, it's Tinkerbell 3 by now.
Right.
Okay, so there was also another like pink bra, green shirt combo that Carrie was wearing when they were kind of doing like some weird cuddling. I feel like there's a dog right now.
Yeah, there's my pocket dog is barking at another dog walking.
You have a Liz Taylor dog too?
I do. Actually, I don't have a dog really. But there's three dogs that live with me. None of them are my dogs. But I do everything for those dogs.
That's like you saying you don't have a girlfriend. You just some
weird. It's just that's normally how it happens, April.
We hang out sometimes.
Cool
chick.
Right.
I don't have a girlfriend though.
Yeah, it's like that Mitch Hedberg.
She's in the house with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We should have told you that you should have killed your dogs before this recording. Sorry.
Oh, feel like my bad. Shut up.
Put that in the email beforehand. Next time.
I think it's adding to the scenery of the episode.
Right.
For
it
sure.
makes sense for the episode.
Should we move on? Final thoughts.
Well, I also wanted to bring up one thing that I noticed in my notes that we haven't brought up before yet. With Carrie's story, Big shows up, or he calls her.
Oh, and she hangs up on him 3 times.
Yeah, on the phone. He leaves 3 messages, and she's like, bitch, I'm over that.
Yep.
Getting desperate.
What do you think he wanted to talk to her about?
Oh, he wants to marry her.
I think that he just is coming back, sniffing around. Not answering. So he's like, but you're my chick I have on hold. You have to answer. So then he called like 3 more times.
Yeah, she's kind of like ghosting before ghosting.
Yeah. I don't know their history that well. I mean, I know that's the guy that she always wants to be with, but I don't know what he does to her. I guess he just comes in whenever he can, whenever he wants. That's what it sounds like.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's pretty overtly manipulative. It's pretty much just like, hey, you're special to me. And I'm moving to California now.
Yes.
Oh. And she's like, what? And he's like, you lift her. And then he winks at her and then leaves.
He just leaves. He
picks her up at midnight, 5 months from now. He's like, hey, thinking about me? And then he hangs up again. But for like years.
That's funny.
So I guess now we can move to, like, final thoughts, now that we got Big out of the way. Jeremiah, what are you going to take from this episode? This is the fourth from the last episode. So they're wrapping up the series in this.
I am going to take away from this episode that two of these women are in a happy relationship, and one might be in a happy relationship. The other one... she might die soon, so I don't know.
Samantha might die, yes.
Very true. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
I like this episode. Probably one of my favorite episodes of the series. I will say Miranda didn't really get a lot. She kind of had like a light storyline. It just kind of proves how much Steve is awesome. But other than that, I liked Charlotte's storyline. Carrie was big too. Samantha had some good moments. I mean, yeah, overall, really cool episode. I'm glad to have this thing finally wrapping up. What about you, April?
There we go. I loved it. As always, it was just a good episode. I thought there were some good emotional arcs. Loved Big coming back. That always throws a wonderful, like, really upsetting wrench in the works. Because
totally.
I hate, but it also, sometimes I hate Carrie, and they're kind of perfect for each other. But we're going to see what happens there, and nothing makes me happier than things that upset me. And this episode had liberal use of the word fag and of the wig, and I'm never going to stop loving how horrible that wig on that white
I wish that like there was that one point at some point when she was like at one of the clubs or something, there was a black woman that walked by her and just gave her a look like
just because
no, like just no, just shakes her
right,
head
just
like
just,
gave her the no, this Karen didn't.
Yeah,
Karen.
Exactly. She just talks to her other black friend like, look at that white bitch.
Right.
Like, you just see the words. You just see her form the words. What the fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be great. But yeah, I mean, very good episode. Jeremiah, thank you for doing this the way you had to. I mean, circumstances the way they are, it could be a lot worse.
True. Thank you guys for having me. I had fun.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the show.
Yay! So,
yeah.
So are you thinking quarantine, you know what you haven't binge-watched yet is Sex and the City, but it might be about time?
I will still watch it every now and again. I'm not going to binge-watch it, but I will go, oh, you know what? I haven't seen this in a while. Let me see where I'm at on this show.
Yeah, I mean, you've watched four episodes so far, so you've pretty much watched, you know, 1/64th of the series.
Yeah, so I know everybody's everything.
Mm-hmm. How many more pies do you need to make to get you to watch the rest of
it? I think I have to do half of the two movies.
Okay, yeah.
So we make one full movie.
All right. There we go. It's fantastic. Any final thoughts, Daryl, that weren't covered?
No, pretty much. Guys, just rate and subscribe. Obviously, we'll be doing this maybe, I don't know, for the rest of the series. Who knows what life will hold. But we're going to pull out content nonetheless. Jeremiah, thank you again for coming on. You're a mensch.
No problem, Daryl.
April.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Very first, very special quarantine episode.
Yep. Okay, guys. Right. Peace out. We'll be here next week for the third to last episode.
Woo!
Woo! Peace.